So remember, we talked about last time the second and third commandment, right? So for the second commandment, remember what we should do is that we have to recite the name of God to be truthful for in our oath and also faithful in our vow. So if a person uses the name of God carelessly, it's a small sin. But if somebody blasphemes, using language, insulting God, show contempt, that become a big sin. And then also, to take an oath, we only do that when it's necessary. It's like taking medication. You take it only when necessary. So you only take an oath when it is necessary. And also, we shouldn't lie under oath, and we shouldn't swear to do something evil. So if we take an oath without necessity, it's a small sin. But if we take an oath that is false and do something evil, that becomes a big sin. And then also, when we make promise to God, we should do our best to fulfill it. If there is impossibility of doing that for a private vow, then a priest can commute that to something else. So we have to be discerned before we actually make a solemn promise to God. And then last time we talked about the third commandment, that we have to go to church on Sunday, that we have to rest on Sunday. And so the thing that we shouldn't do is to miss church on Sunday, and also to doing unnecessary serve work on Sunday, especially. So I hope you all go to church on Sunday, huh? Yeah, so it's important that we now approaching, getting closer to Easter, that it really formed a good habit of going to church every Sunday. That's really, really important. And so also do your best to try to keep Sunday as holy as possible. Of course, sometimes you do need to do something on Sunday, you know, especially if you have a few children at home, you know. It's a lot of work to do, right? But do your best, you know, if possible, do your best to focus more on the soul on Sunday. That would be the proper thing to do. Now, in the book here, if you go, we are page 206. You can see that it's the fourth commandment, and there is in the fourth commandment, they quite extensive, talking about the fourth commandment, the duties of parents, of superior, and then also the civil duties. Now, to put it more simply, we can think about that what we should do and what we shouldn't do. What we should do is that we should love, respect, obey, and help our parents. Those are the four important things. And so the opposite would be what we shouldn't do. Instead of love, then we show contempt. Instead of respect, there is disrespect. Instead of obey, there is disobey. Instead of helping, neglect our parents or not care. So that's a nutshell of what we should do to our parents in regard to the fourth commandment. Of course, our parents represent God in the family, and so we obey, we respect them, love them, and also grateful to them of God blessing to us through them. Usually, when we're thinking about the fourth commandment, it's not only applied to parents. It's also applied to lawful authority. So lawful authority, like in the church, you know, would be like the Pope, the Bishop, the parish priest. So that's in the church. Of course, in the school would be principal teachers. And then also in the workplace, our boss. And then also, of course, in society, government official, leader of the government. And so those are the lawful authority that we also should show respect to them and obey. Now, of course, lawful authority can give a command, you know, only when it is within the competency So, of course, if it is in the church authority, you know, will be in matter of religion. And so everybody have his own competency, but if it go beyond, it shouldn't go beyond that. And then also, when there is a command, but if the command is something, somebody command you to do something against the law of God, then we shouldn't obey. And then in conscience, we have to oppose. We think about, remember, we mentioned before that there are two kinds of precepts. The positive precepts and the negative precepts. The positive are the ones that ask you to do something, you know. And I mentioned before that can have exception. And so that's applied to obeying. If the law is against the divine law, against the natural law, then we in conscience, we don't have to obey, and we should not obey, and we should oppose. If the law is not against natural law, it's not unjust, then we should obey. And also, but of course, we meant that negative precept, thou shalt not, is always binding. There will be no exception. But for the thou shalt, what we should do, sometimes that can be exception. And so we think about, also important is that when, as long as we are a minor, then we should obey our parents. When we are a minor, we should obey our parents. Yeah, you are a minor, obey parents. And so we have to obey up to when we become adult. When you become adult, I think in matter spiritual, you still should obey your parents. So in when parents tell you, you know, you should go to church on Sunday, you know, you should still do that, right? In matter of natural life, you know, the bodily life, then you are on your own. Then you should still respect, listen to your parents, but ultimately you make your decision. You know, what kind of job are you taking? What vocation do you follow? Whom are you getting married with? You know, things like that. You know, ultimately that's your responsibility. But of course, it would be wise and also important that we still listen and respect our parents when they have something to say. Remember, we have to obey lawful authority. It can happen. An adult might be living at home, So if an adult living at home with their parents, so they obey their parents because their parents is the head of the household. It's a bit like, you know, Bob and Chris have homestay student, They obey you as the head of the household. So when there is rule regarding the good, the order of the household, then adult children staying at home should still obey. So, you know, a homestay student, how do you set rule for the good of the household? Be home before midnight, things like that, you know. So that would be what we should be doing. Now, of course, if you are a subject, then you show respect, you obey, If you are those in authority, then you also have your responsibility to look after those who are under you. If you are parents, you should bring up your children, but also, especially also the spiritual upbringing, not to neglect that. If you are a priest or bishop, then you have the obligation to be spiritually looking after those under your care, and also to teach them and teach them their duties and also lead them to good lives. And so we have our duties. We have our duties. And of course, on page 212, it's also thinking about that we also have the responsibility as citizen. So as citizen, there are a few things that we have to do. We have to obey the law when it's a just law, and then also, you know, so it's also talking about voting and also talking about paying taxes and things like that. So, And then also, talking about when we vote, we should also, it is a Catholic voter's duty to vote for a candidate that will act justly in questions of morals and have the Christian principle at heart. Those who do not have the right to vote ought to pray for a result in the election favorable to upright men and the country in general. A Catholic elector must not vote for any candidate who despises the teachings of Christianity. Before voting, he should find out the candidate's view on education, marriage, and things like that. So it's something that we exercise our rights and duties as citizens, so that will be something under the fourth commandment. So, and then we have the fifth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Again, because we are in a hurry toward Easter, so I will again go through that without reading too much from the text. So you think about a line in between, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. For the fifth commandment, we have to look after our body and those of others. So respect and look after our body, the body. And then also, but also don't forget the fifth commandment also include that we have to look after our soul and those of other people's souls. So the fifth commandment, we shall not kill the body, but also we should not kill the soul. If you lead somebody to commit big sin, you cause somebody to commit big sin, that is killing the soul. So it's really important that we protect not only the body, but also the soul. So, and then we think about what we shouldn't do. Then whatever, will kill somebody, right? We shouldn't kill, but also we shouldn't hurt. But what lead to that is oftentimes is that anger, hatred, the desire to revenge, things like that will lead to hurting or even killing people. So those are the things we have to avoid. And also the fifth commandment, because we're talking about to look after our own lives and the lives of other people, that we have to also watch out things like using drugs, getting drunk, and things like that. Usually, the traditional moral principle is, if you get yourself partially drunk, it's a venial sin, it's a small sin. If you get yourself completely drunk on purpose, that become a mortal sin, a serious sin. In the old days, they would apply the same principle for using drugs. But nowadays, we know a lot of the drugs, they are so bad, even one time can cause a person great damage. So because of the great risk that you take, I think that, even one time, taking drugs, in some of the drugs, it will be already a mortal sin, a serious sin, because of the danger that you expose yourself. Usually, of course, another sin we have to avoid is gluttony. Gluttony, it's gluttony, right? Too much ice cream, too much chocolate, too much nuts, usually, the traditional teaching is that gluttony normally is a venial sin only. It's a small sin. So it's something that I think we all guilty of to some extent one way or another. But normally it's a small sin. So it's something that doesn't deprive you the grace of God. Sanctifying grace doesn't lose sanctifying grace when it's a sin of gluttony. But it's something that we always good to have moderation, because when we able to show moderation in food, that area is also able, we can be also having discipline in many other areas in life as well. So it's a good training when we have moderation in food.
Father, I was going to ask you this before, and it's actually come up, so it's reminded me. So if a woman is pregnant and keeping the child is going to kill her, you still can't abort the baby?
You shouldn't kill a life at all. You shouldn't kill a life at all. There can be situation when the woman might have to receive treatment, but the side effect is that baby might die because of the treatment. In that situation, if that's the only way to save the life of the woman can go through the treatment because it is not direct killing. Because what the fifth commandment forbids is that any private person cannot kill another person directly. So no matter how, we shouldn't directly kill another person. We shouldn't kill another person directly. But there have been situations that the woman have to go through some treatment, and the treatment might result the baby might die. And then if there's no other way to save the woman's life, then the treatment can be received. Yeah. So that's also before John Paul II died, he canonized a woman. I think it's a Gianna, I think it's the name, that she was a daughter, and she got her fourth baby. But as a daughter, she knew, you know, her sickness is quite serious, and she could have received the treatment that may result in the death of her child, but she made the decision that she wants to save the child, even that means the risk of her life. And so she carried the baby up to able that she delivered the baby, but then later on she died because of the sickness. And so because of that heroic decision that she made, and also because of her holy life in general, that she lived a really holy life, so she was actually eventually canonized in the year 2004 by John Paul II. Yeah. So since that came up, you know, we think about in human life is more vulnerable at the beginning and also at the end. And so that's why there have been different moral issues that can come up surrounding the beginning of life and the end of life. So we mentioned already that, you know, abortion is always wrong because we just have no right to directly kill another person. When a new life is there, really likely, you know, God created a human soul out of nothing already. So any human life, no matter how small, is a human life. So it's the same equal dignity with each one of us. And so we cannot kill anybody because we have equal dignity. And we also shouldn't kill any baby, you know, even though it's really small. Only God have the right to give life and to take life. We don't have that. And so we have to respect human life. So it's that's the beginning of life. And then also in ritual fertilization is also something immoral, because when God created the human life is really holy. It should be within the marriage, when a couple renew their marriage commitment in the sexual act. So technology that help the couple in the sexual act is okay, but technology that replace that, then it's not okay. And when we're thinking about, you know, next time we will talk about the issue of contraception. A lot of time when people, either they want to have baby, or they might have serious reason not to have children, you know, a lot of time doctor recommend something that is not quite according to the teaching of the church, like contraception or in vitro fertilization. But actually, you know, the natural family planning, you know, the Creighton method, for example, that taught by one of our parishioners is on our bulletin every week, you know, inside, you know, it's a method quite reliable. They have been helping people. They tried to have baby, they couldn't. And so the Creighton method actually helped them to achieve pregnancy. And then also on the other hand, you know, for some couple, they have serious reason not maybe not prudent to have children for the time being, the natural family planning, the method also helped them to postpone pregnancy. And so it's something that, you know, completely natural and also moral, but in our world today, people doesn't care much about those good methods, you know, but just, you know, whatever is popular. And so it's something that is important for us to discover that. And now in our diocese, when couple get married, usually when they go through the marriage preparation course, they they also now will actually give them an introduction on NFP, on the natural family planning. So it's something that that also help them to understand, you know, how to use the a moral method, you know, either to achieve pregnancy or to at least to postpone the pregnancy. So it's something that that in our diocese is being done, but also in many places as well. And so that's something about beginning of life. And then the end of life, we have the issue of euthanasia. People want to die. We have to understand that, as mentioned before, that God is the one who gives life, and He is the one who can take life, but not us. So it's not up to us to judge, is my life worth living or not? Sometimes we talk about quality of life, but you know, our life is not up to us to judge, am I life worth living or not? Life is a gift from God. It's not up to us to decide. But we might decide if a treatment is too burdensome or not. So we don't judge a life, we judge a treatment. So sometimes the treatment can be so out of proportion, you know, what is required for the treatment and the outcome, that it becomes disproportionate or become extraordinary. And so in that situation, we can forego a particular treatment. And so sometimes decisions like that have to be made by family, in the hospital. Oftentimes that can happen, you know. And sometimes people older people might say, if I stop, my heart stops, don't resuscitate me. And the last time I checked, you know, resuscitation can be, for those people, can be considered extraordinary. So sometimes people can forego some treatment that might be extraordinary. But also, as time moves on, some extraordinary treatment in the past might not be extraordinary anymore today. Like, for example, if it is 100 years ago, using a feeding tube will be quite extraordinary. But nowadays, that's a pretty normal treatment. So if somebody not able to eat, but otherwise is not dying, you cannot just, you know, starve the person to death. You know, there should be feeding tube. Because if it's 100 years ago, it can be extraordinary, having a feeding tube. But nowadays, that's a pretty normal treatment.
Sometimes, I work in healthcare, and sometimes there's patients who are having surgery,
uh-huh,
who are Jehovah's Witness,
uh-huh,
who don't want to have blood transfusion.
Uh-huh.
What's the Catholic teaching on that?
Like, blood transfusion, no problem.
If we're in a position where the patient refuses to get a blood transfusion, like for example, in the operating room,
yeah,
you know, if a patient's coming for surgery,
mm-hmm,
and we think that it's pretty likely they're going to require a blood transfusion,
yeah,
but they refuse it.
Uh huh.
Do we follow? Like, should I follow their wishes or?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. That's a good question. You know, I think
the teaching, yeah, in civil society is that we follow their wishes. That's,
yeah,
what the sort of standard teaching is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no legal thing behind that?
I think it's more of a legal thing, yeah.
It
because
is, people have been sued before for...
Because nowadays we are in a crazy world. People are so legalistic, mm-hmm, you know. So in enough American culture, we are so guarded, you know. We just don't want to do even what is right, or even sometimes even the common sense thing, you know, because we just afraid that we might be sued by people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Jehovah's Witnesses now accept certain blood portions? And is it not anything that's not red blood related?
My understanding is they don't want it back after it's left the body. So there is a special thing during surgery.
Mm-hmm.
If the patient's bleeding during surgery, you can suck it up with a special suction,
uh-huh,
and run it through tubing all the way to a machine that washes it,
uh-huh,
and then continue on in a tubing that goes back into them,
uh-huh,
and they accept that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's what we try and do Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's, I mean, I've never been in a situation where that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, I, the thought has crossed my mind a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's complicated. I also have other.
Mm-hmm.